Government auditors have taken a fresh look at federal spending and programs. The latest annual report to Congress by the Government Accountability Office reiterates some earlier findings, namely that agencies have plenty of opportunities to get rid of programs that are fragmented, overlapping, or duplicative. For more, we turn to Nicole Clowers, the Director of Financial Markets and Community Investment Issues at the GAO. Good morning. Thanks for joining us so early.
Morning, Tom.
All right. So what's new this year that you're highlighting for Congress? I noticed the first statement in your report is that the U.S. is on an unsustainable fiscal path. Does that message still resonate on the Hill?
It does, and it's important to frame the issues that we're raising in that context of where we are with the budget. And it's always important that agencies are working to be as efficient as possible, but never more so given today's fiscal environment. And one way they could be more efficient, the government could be more efficient, is to weed out programs that are fragmented or overlapping or duplicating one another, or making them more efficient by better coordinating. So we highlight in this year's report 26 new areas where we found either evidence of fragmentation, overlap, duplication, or other opportunities for cost savings.
Now, these 26 new ones, are they in a few particular areas, or do they seem to be scattered across the government?
They range the spectrum of all government programs. We have several defense issues that we raise, as well as healthcare areas and IT areas. I can give you an example of
Well, let's start with defense. Let's go there first.
Okay. So in the defense area, we highlight an area that where we find eight organizations within the Department of Defense that are responsible for accounting for soldiers from past conflicts, prisoners of war, or those missing in action. And not only do we find that there's eight different organizations within DOD doing the same type of work, we found that they're operating under different lines of authority, and which can create turf battles and other type of confusion. And frankly, they're just not working in a way that would make it the most effective, going about it in the most effective manner and carrying out their work.
Yeah, I guess so that's a good example of the fact that you can have more than one group pursuing the same thing. You might actually get fewer results than if you have all your wood behind one arrowhead.
That's exactly right. When you have multiple organizations working on the same things, if not properly coordinated and working in a seamless fashion, it can create both gaps but also duplication. And that's what we have. In this case, we found examples of where different labs were asking another lab to do the same type of work, or working on cases that have already been closed by another lab. So you can see where this creates an efficiency and not carrying out their mission in the most effective way. So we make recommendations for DOD to consider the structure of the of those organizations and whether any needs to be consolidated, as well as looking at the lines of authority.
All right, and you also found some duplication in the health area, especially in research and AIDS. Tell us about those.
Yes, we did. We highlight that within the Department of Health and Human Services, there's over 10 agencies providing different types of funding for AIDS, AIDS program for the minority populations. And this creates inefficiencies not only at the federal level, but also at the grantee level, because that forces the grantees or the cities to apply for multiple grants from these different agencies, and also the grants are much smaller. And it creates an administrative burden and also a disincentive for some of these grantees to even apply, because they have to continually apply for applications or expend those resources to get relatively small amounts of money. And so, again, we make recommendations in this area to look at that structure and to see if more efficiencies could be gained by consolidating some of those funding streams.
All right, and then let's move on, because income security, that seems like a very costly one, especially disability unemployment benefits when Congress is debating that whole issue. In fact, there's a hearing today on whether Social Security is any good at determining disability benefits. You're finding a lot of overlap there, too.
We did. We found overlap in that the current law currently allows individuals to receive full benefits from the disability insurance program as well as the unemployment insurance program, which means the government is paying for lost wages not once, but twice. And so we recommend that Congress consider passing legislation to prevent individuals from receiving concurrent payments from both programs. And doing so would save over $1 billion over the next 10 years.
And I imagine it's agency policy already not to pay twice. I mean, it seems like something they could do administratively if they could get their act together with respect to information.
Well, in this case, this would require a statutory change because it's a somewhat of a loophole in current law that individuals could get concurrent payments from both programs. But on the face of it, it's not seemingly the intent of these programs.
And I bet there's a lot of sharp lawyers out there that steer people to both programs knowing about that loophole.
Well, we did find examples of individuals receiving both benefits.
Right. We're speaking with Nicole Clower. She's Director of Financial Markets and Community Investment Issues at the GAO. And the information technology area, that's always ripe for duplication and overlap. What did you find this year? There's something new there, too.
We looked at a report. It's actually a report we did a couple years ago, but we highlighted this year as a new issue in interoperable radio communication systems, where we did a case study looking at three agencies and found that they're continuing to pursue standalone systems. And working together, we believe that they could go into a more shared services, shared approach, could create efficiencies and better solutions for mission-critical operations.
I mean, shared services has been a policy of both the Obama administration and the George W. Bush administration had big initiatives going for shared services. It must be frustrating to see the GAO and Congress agreeing that this is a great policy and the administration's agreeing and the agencies just, it's like dragging a dog to a dish it doesn't want.
But you know, it is a theme that comes through in a number of our issues, not only this year as well as past years, where we've noticed a more strategic shared approach would create efficiencies. Another area this year that touches on that theme was in the defense area, where we looked at satellite control operations and found that, again, that the use of increased use of shared satellite control networks could reduce fragmentation and potential duplication and lead to cost savings. So it is something that we continually find in our work where pursuing separate strategies isn't the most efficient way. But we do see some progress being made on that front. I could give you an example. Last year we noted a similar theme in the area of combat uniforms, where we found that the military services were pursuing different procurement strategies for different uniform styles and patterns and for their combat uniforms. And we found that was not an efficient manner to go about this. And not only was it not efficient, it wasn't providing the equivalent level of protection for the service members. We pointed that out and pointed out the amount of savings that could be had. And this past year, both Congress and DOD took action to address this issue. So while there's sometimes similar themes, we do see some progress being made on these issues.
All right, good. Well, that's good to hear that something is happening on the positive side of the ledger. In the general government area, though, you find a lot of I'm looking particularly at real estate and owned properties. And, of course, every administration tries to get rid of property it doesn't need or the government doesn't need. What did you find there?
Well, this is interesting. We have a couple areas that are somewhat related in the general government area. First, on the real estate-owned properties, we looked at the Federal Housing Administration's policies for both when they obtain properties through the foreclosure process and they put them on their books, and then they have to dispose of those properties. And we examined their practices and compared them to the GSEs and how they go about it, and we found that FHA could learn a lot from the GSEs, which could result in cost savings, both in the way they take on the properties and maintain them. There's costs associated with holding a property on your books. You have to maintain that property, cut the grass, and that type of thing, as well as the disposition strategies of selling it. And on both of those counts, if they did better on while they're holding the property, taking it ownership as well as selling it, there's about $1 billion that could be achieved if they did as well as the GSEs. Similarly, with federal real property ownership and leasing. We looked at GSA's practices for how they go about making decisions on leasing or owning properties, and we found that they're not always following the best practices for capital planning, not examining all the alternatives when making decisions about leasing or owning properties, and as a result, maybe not making the most cost-effective decisions. We found cases where they're leasing properties for 40 years, and when you're owning leasing properties for that long, you're making substantial investments in terms of the buildings, and you're not going to be able to recoup that when that lease ends.
So you might as well own it if you're going to be there for 40 or 50 years, in other words.
That's correct. You need to be thinking about all those type of scenarios when you're making these decisions, how long you're going to own it, what type of investments that you need to make in the buildings, and factor that into the cost, whether it's more cost-effective to lease or own.
And so if you take all of these duplicative areas that you've identified this year, the 26 new ones, subtract out the ones where they've made progress, what is the potential savings here, do you see, in total?
We estimate there's tens of billions of dollars that could be saved by the government annually by addressing the issues that we've identified not only this year but last year and the year before. And to date, we estimate that the actions that that we've recommended that have been implemented have already saved the government a little more than $10 billion. So there's some progress being made, but there's certainly more that could be made.
All right. I guess that's the watchword of the GAO, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right. Nicole Clowers is Director of Financial Markets and Community Investment Issues at the GAO. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.